Hello and welcome back to the From the Nosebleeds podcast. Season 3 is finally here. Season 3, episode 1. It was a long, long wait after season 2. Not really. It's only been a week. But I'm Thomas Pokernick, as always, back with Thomas Coburn and producer Paul Gismondi. Coburn, what's going on? Tell me how you're feeling for this big season 3 reveal.
Well, I guess we should say, I like the new format, even though we can't see it right now. We're not actually, right now, we're just in the regular Zoom call, but it really looks nice. Which way are the topics?
This way? I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
I'm going to say this way or that way.
You know what? If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Google Podcasts, you have no idea what you're talking about.
If you're listening to us on Google Podcasts, a different breed. Different breed, let me tell you.
What a start.
I guess we're not dedicating episodes anymore. Let's just throw that out. Because we're doing seasons. Strictly seasons.
I think you did that for one episode in season 2. No, season 1, you had a bit of a run.
Yeah.
But season 3 is here. We got a new look. I can't even speak. We have a new look. We have some new content planned. We're super, super excited. And if you're not watching us on YouTube, I mean, first of all, I feel like I've somewhat got my hair in check, so better start.
Better, much better.
And you're not getting to see our beautiful faces. So I think YouTube's kind of the go-to platform. We're not being paid by YouTube to say that.
Well, the reason I was about to say, speaking of, you know, YouTube being paid, the reason we took a week off was we had to renegotiate our contract with Spotify, Apple, YouTube. We weren't happy with the amount of money we were receiving, but we settled.
Yeah,
we held out. We held out, but we settled.
He just didn't back down in these negotiations.
Yeah. He said, we want nothing and we're not backing down from having nothing. And they gave it to us. They gave us nothing. So we're back.
If I were to compare him to someone, I would say I'm Tyrann Mathieu and he's Tom Brady. Like I saw a different side of this guy that I've never seen before. It was truly, truly something. But you know what? It's been a week. We're back. Probably the biggest thing that happened was the weekend halftime show since we did an episode. I can't really think of anything else there.
There's no game. The halftime show might have been the best part of the game, if you ask some people.
Me, including I am. When you say some people, you're directly talking about me. Of course, the Super Bowl happened, and as I famously said on the season 2 finale, my quote was, the Bucks are not winning this game. I did say that. And I was very, very confident. And now I'm looking back at it and thinking, how could I have been so wrong? How could I not have seen this coming? Of course, the NFL wins in the end with their poster boy, Tom Brady, getting his 7th championship. It's all about Brady. And
you're sick to your stomach.
Something I learned about myself through this Super Bowl and Of course, I think producer Paul will definitely vouch to this because he wasn't impressed with my antics on Twitter throughout the game. I think if the Miami Dolphins ever make the Super Bowl, I am concerned for my well-being, win or lose, because I could not handle the game on Sunday night. I couldn't take it.
I think the same goes for me, but I just think it's like past the wild card round. Like, it's not even the Super Bowl. Just as soon as you pass the wild card round, I'm now losing my mind. I actually don't know. I don't know what somebody would do, especially with that week off in between, especially if you go to the Super Bowl. That week off, I don't know what you do. Like, I don't know how you function.
The Super Bowl, to me, has just become so commercialized almost. That week off, it's so long in between NFL games that it almost feels like you forget that the NFL playoffs is even going on. And then by the time you reach the Super Bowl, it's all about the commercials and the prop bets and what Gatorade color it's going to be and who's doing the halftime show. It doesn't even feel like an NFL game anymore. And it's just like, I can't even fathom the idea of the Dolphins actually playing in the Super Bowl. And I don't know if they're ever allowed to go there because I think Roger Goodell knows what I would do if the Dolphins lose the Super Bowl or even win the Super Bowl. It would not be pretty.
Mayhem. So, either way.
Hopefully they reach there next year. Maybe we'll have Lions,
Dolphins. Lions-Dolphins. I think so. Trey Lance versus Tua in the Super Bowl. Goff that, benched.
That's who you're going with season. Now, Trey Lance.
Don't know. Well, who knows? That's It's mock draft.
Is that the next episode? Season 3, episode 2, the quarterback carousel?
It could be. Well, we'll get to one quarterback at the end of this episode.
I mean, we also got to do my movie reviews after at some point in this season when things get really dry in the NFL. But I guess we'll dive in to the Super Bowl and what actually happened in the game. I talked about my reactions, and I'll bring this up when I said movie reviews. I know you know this about me, and if you're a real, real big fan of the show, you know this about me. I am just late to watching every movie, every show ever. So I'll give you a Breaking Bad reference. And I would say if you haven't seen Breaking Bad, you know, don't listen for spoilers. But I feel like I've seen Breaking Bad now.
You were the last one.
That means everyone else in the world has already seen it.
Yeah.
You know when Jesse is saying, how does he keep getting away with this? He's yelling at Walter. I think it's in one of the last episodes.
Yeah.
That's how I felt on Sunday.
That was Brady.
Brady. That's how I felt. I was crying. I was yelling at the TV. That's how I felt. Let's get into the game now. Enough about me.
Well, listen, yeah, exactly. At the beginning of the week, you mentioned earlier, you said the Chiefs, no way they lose this game, or I don't know whatever the exact quote was, but along those lines. I was on board all the way. I thought the Chiefs were going to win. And every day after that podcast, I got a little bit less confident in the Chiefs. And maybe 2 days later, I was like, ooh, this game's going to be really close. By the time the ball was about to be kicked off, I was like, Bucks are winning. I was so confident. And this is why. I'll explain it quickly. That spread, the fact that the Chiefs were -3, that was Vegas. Vegas knew. All the money was on the Chiefs. Everybody thought it's too easy. They'll win by a field goal. And what's the famous saying? Vegas always wins.
Vegas always wins.
Vegas always wins.
That blue Gatorade just...
Oh, crushed you.
That really crushed me. I thought orange was the lock of the century, and Vegas wins once again. Yeah, you talked about how you kind of swayed your opinion throughout the week. And of course, I was on board. Jeez, I was more so picking with my heart. The one thing I did say on last week's podcast, season 2 finale, by the way, when I watched the Bucks play the Packers in the NFC Championship, the Packers had an offensive line that was really hurt by injury, of course, missing David Bakhtiari, and the Bucks just feasted on them. Just feasted on Aaron Rodgers. I think Shaq Barrett had 3 sacks alone. When I watched this game, I went into the game. My only worry was that Chiefs O-line. They're missing Mitchell Schwartz, all-pro right tackle. Eric Fisher, Pro Bowl left tackle. That was a big worry for me because I know how good that Bucs pass rush can be. And that's exactly what the story of the game was. Mahomes threw 49 passes, and he was pressured 38 times in this game. I think Tom Brady was pressured 5 times. Mahomes ran for 497 yards after the snap, scrambling. And I know part of that was on him because it got to the point where it was a blowout and he just needed to make plays. The pocket collapsed and he just started running around like a chicken with his head cut off. But what I saw was the Buccaneers defense just completely dominating the Chiefs. And I know we'll get into who you think should have won MVP in a second, but I am completely on board with you in that. And why I'm so disappointed is because this is being spun. This is being spun, excuse me. Sorry, I'm a little spun right now.
Yeah.
This is being spun into Tom Brady, 7 Super Bowls, the GOAT, you know what? You can say this and that about Brady. I honestly don't think this game did anything to his legacy. I mean, it's already hard to argue that he's anything but the GOAT just because of his accomplishments and his longevity. But there's going to be a day where I think Mahomes personally will get up there in Super Bowls. If he gets 5, if he gets 6, I don't know if he's necessarily going to get 7. It seems impossible to me. But and people are going to use this game to argue that this is why Brady will forever be ahead of Mahomes. And to me, I just felt like this game was truly Patrick Mahomes up against the Buccaneers defense, and it was that's the story. Don't spin this into a Brady versus Mahomes, because Brady didn't outduel Mahomes in some crazy blowout game. That's just not what happened.
Yeah, the story of the game to me is along the lines of what you said, but just a little bit different here. I think the real story is, well, a couple. Todd Bowles, fantastic job. Dared the Chiefs to run the ball. And I think that's where the real story is. The Chiefs offense just was unwilling to adapt. You saw them run the ball successfully right at the start of the second half. And then they just They went away from it. It's like, that's the only way you're going to move the ball right now is by running it. You got to get Allaire going. They just chose not to. They kept trying to take deep shots. It's like, at a certain point, it's just not working. If it's worked the whole year, who cares? If it's not working now, you gotta change something. You can't move the ball. Mahomes is running for his life. They didn't want to run the ball. I can't imagine what it's like to be a Chiefs fan. Like, that game had to be so frustrating because it seemed to just be kind of stubbornness by Andy Reid, Bieniemy, whoever, that whole offensive staff. And Todd Bowles said, "You guys want to keep throwing the ball deep? Fine by me. You can't. Our pass rush is too good right now, and we'll let you guys run." And they just didn't run the ball.
It really was a great game plan by Todd Bowles and the entire Buccaneers defense. Like, it was a true team effort by the Buccaneers, and they were the better team, flat out, plain and simple. When a defense plays like that, it's hard to lose a football game. This is 2 years in a row now that the Chiefs have gone into the Super Bowl and they looked a little bit unprepared. I don't know if you want to point fingers at Andy Reid, at Eric Bieniemy, but like, a lot of people forget Mahomes in the Super Bowl last year for 3 quarters and 10 minutes didn't look too hot there. And once again, it was almost like, I obviously watch a lot of Chiefs football all year just because they're such an entertaining team to watch. And to me, no matter what, when Mahomes has the ball in his hands, there's never a doubt. There's never any worry. I never hold my breath when he throws a pass. And it's almost like from the very first possession, I compared it to watching Tua almost. Obviously, I watched Tua all year. I'm a Dolphins fan, but I was nervous when Mahomes had the ball in his hands. It was like when he released that, I didn't know if it was going to be an interception or if the receiver was even open. And they completely neutralized Tyreek Hill. He was non-existent. Levante David stuck to Travis Kelce like glue. Of course, if you just look at the stat line, Kelce and Hill ended up having decent days.
Especially Kelce.
Pretty
yeah.
big day.
Yeah.
But that was mostly yards in garbage time when the Bucs were playing prevent defense. They completely shut down the Chiefs, and it was truly eye-opening. And one thing I'd like to point out is that, I mean, it's easy to say now that you kind of saw this coming with the Chiefs, but the way they played this season, and it started from maybe week 2, I think, against the Chargers, they've let teams hang around, and they've relied so much on Mahomes' magic, and eventually it came back to bite them, and I guess they sort of did that now. They just thought, hey, Patrick, you're going to have to win us this game against this great defense. With this week, you're not getting a lot of help, and it caught up to them, and Bucs are Super Bowl champs. There you go. Yeah.
Exactly. Brady gets another one. But one more thing on the Chiefs, and you kind of just went over it, but you said they relied on the Mahomes magic. I would almost just say the team's magic. That I've never really seen a team kind of just, oh, we're down 10. They still have that confidence, that swagger. We're coming back. We're winning. It doesn't matter. You saw it against the Bills. The Bills got out, what, 9-0, I guess, because they missed the extra point. And it was like, it was almost like, who cares? Let's just start playing. When they were losing, I think it was 14-6, it felt different.
Yeah.
It really felt different. You could feel the tension and just kind of this sense of panic that I didn't even really see against the Niners last year. They still kind of seemed calm, whatever. And going into it, the more experienced team was the Chiefs. Yes, the Bucs have Brady, and I think most people kind of undervalued his experience. It kind of felt like it just spread throughout the team. The Bucs were the calmer team. Tyrann Mathieu, I don't even know what that was. He's just losing his mind. They fell apart. They really fell apart almost from the start of the game. And I still thought they had a chance because I'm never going to count them out. But in the end, they really never had a chance.
Listen, I'm just on that whole Tyrann Mathieu thing. I, for one, really wasn't happy with some of the calls in the first half. I thought both those pass interference penalties were incredibly weak. I thought even the holding on Mike Evans, which led to a Tyrann Mathieu interception, was very weak. And 14 points came out of that ultimately. Now, of course, the way the game ended, people can say, you know, the Chiefs offense only scored 9 points. What does it matter? I think that's big. And I think the Chiefs really found themselves frustrated because of those calls. And I talked about this because in the Bucks-Packers game, in the Chiefs-Bills game, the refs seemed to let everything go except for that last call in the Bucks-Packers game that ultimately favored the Bucks once again. And I value consistency. If you're going to let them clutch and grab and hold, let everything go. If you're going to call everything, call everything. But for a championship game, NFC and AFC, to be officiated the way it was, and then in the Super Bowl, every single bit of contact, even with uncatchable passes, which I truly believe at least one of those, if not two of those pass interference penalties, were uncatchable balls, those flags should not have been thrown. Now, in the end, does it really matter the way that Bucs defense played? Who knows? But I still feel like it would have been a different game. I at least would have liked to see the Chiefs almost get a bit more of a fair shot. But with what you're saying, you know, Chris Jones was losing his cool. Tyrann Mathieu was losing his cool on the big stage in the Super Bowl. You can't do that. And like I said before, the Bucs were the better team in this one. But I was very, very, I guess I'll plug once again. If you were following me on Twitter, I was very disappointed with some of those calls in the first half.
Yeah, I couldn't disagree more. Here's the calls don't matter. It was 14-6.
Those calls directly granted the Buccaneers.
No, but it doesn't matter. It's 14-6. It's 14-6 in the first half. It's not at the end of the game. It's 14-6 in the first half. There's so much game left. Go win it. If you're the better team, you go. That's why the flags mean nothing to me. And yeah, I wanted the Chiefs to lose. And yes, I was laughing at watching them burn on national TV. But in the end, those flags don't matter. I'm sorry. I don't know how anybody, if they don't matter. They don't matter. It was too early and the Chiefs were still in it. It's not even like if it was three possessions, I might give it to you. But two possessions, 14-6
at halftime felt like 35-3.
It wasn't 14-6
at halftime. 14-6 at halftime, 21-6. It was 21-6 at halftime. Yeah,
because they lined up offsides.
Yes, but that was from the Tyrann. If that should not have even happened, because Tyrann Mathieu intercepted Brady already just before that. It's the whole, you know what? It gave me flashbacks of D Ford from a couple of years ago. And it was just like, here we are. The yellow flags come out, bail out Brady once again. You know what? I'll say this, though. If it was the other way around, if the Bucs were completely, if they had their legs cut out with the yellow flags like the Chiefs did, I would be sitting where I am and saying to you, it was the first half. It doesn't matter. There was still so much game time. If you're the better team, go out and win it. And you would be saying that is complete garbage.
So no, I wouldn't. I've been consistent. I'm leading
right now.
I've been consistent throughout almost every team is that I don't believe there are that many games that are truly where the refs cost the game. And I've said this with how many times it's happened with the Lions.
Except for Super Bowl 55.
I don't make excuses. I don't think the refs lost it for the Saints. Shout out Saints fans. Probably just made them really mad.
We've had
that discussion. We've had that discussion. You get the ball to start overtime. You go score and it's over. You have Brees.
But they shouldn't even be in a position where they need to do that.
It doesn't matter. Go win. You got the ball. That's it. You could spend three podcasts on that topic and we could just have Saints fan join and yell at me. But
say this. So we're recording on Tuesday today, which means I've had about 48 hours, a little less to calm myself down on this topic.
We should have recorded
We recorded on Sunday night at 10:30, I don't know how long into the podcast we are right now, maybe 20 minutes or so. The whole first 20 minutes would have been me ranting and crying about those yellow flags.
And I would have been
laughing. Sunday night, I was just not in a mood. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe what was happening. I just felt like I watched how many games every week, all in buildup for the Super Bowl, just to see this go down. And it was just like every single play, they were throwing one. I think the penalties were 9-1 in the first half. We talk about this all the time in other sports. For example, I know we don't talk about hockey on this podcast, but you know, when a ref makes a bad call on one team, they kind of go back and reward. They try to even it up.
Make up calls. Team. Yeah.
And 9-1 in penalties, I'm sorry, was just like, I feel like Tom had to say to them, hey guys, be careful. Don't make it too obvious, but thanks for building us up this lead here. That was very nice.
No, I disagree. Tom wins his seventh. Tom's the great. He's the greatest of all the greatest. He's at the top of Mount Rushmore. He's on top of Mount Rushmore. There's never been an athlete that's greater than him. That's another discussion we could have. But
what about Bill Russell?
It's basketball. Basketball is a joke of a sport.
I saw a tweet that said, you can't call yourself the greatest athlete in the world when only two countries play your sport. And
oh, yeah, there you go. It was definitely a soccer fan.
Oh, yeah,
soccer fan.
I think the
world
they,
game,
they tweeted two picture of Ronaldo and Messi. Yeah. And maybe we'll try to get Ronaldo.
That's the worst sports debate.
Ronaldo versus Messi?
Ronaldo Messi is the, like, just, it's just awful.
Do you have a particular side that you're on over here?
No, I'm not in terms of like, oh, one is definitely better. I'm just talking about like the garbage that you see on Twitter.
It's almost like like two cults going at it. Like it's
worse really than LeBron Jordan. It's definitely worse than LeBron Jordan.
Like these guys get very defensive about.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's some big LeBron guys out there that will really, you know, go.
I think there's more LeBron fans out there now than there's Jordan. Especially on Twitter.
That would make sense.
All the young people.
I'm going to have to start one of these. There's going to come a time when it's this Mahomes-Brady thing. And you know who's going to be at the front of that line? This guy right here.
Yeah, what's your argument? He's going to have one ring.
I saw this, this Instagram post that compared Russell Wilson to Patrick Mahomes. And first year, they both lost in the playoffs. Second year, they won the Super Bowl, and their third year, they lost to Brady in the Super Bowl. So their first 3 years as starters have kind of been they've just been parallel, very, very similar. Russell Wilson is not Patrick Mahomes. You can't use that little coincidence to say that Patrick Mahomes is going to go for the rest of his career just limited by a lack of offensive line help and weapons and this and that and that. They're different players.
All that needs to happen now is Tyreek Hill needs to get picked off on a slant from the 1 yard line in a Super Bowl. And then they have the same career. That's it.
I mean, that Mahomes actually would have had to happen this year. But
it's what regardless. I will say quickly before we completely move on here about Mahomes. Up until this game, if you would ask me, I would say the most talented, gifted quarterback ever is Rodgers, or that I've seen, because, you know, Troy Aikman, I don't know. I didn't watch him play. Definitely the most talented, most gifted quarterback is definitely Mahomes. Like I admit it. Not the greatest.
Look at this guy. Get the Mahomes jersey in the cart. I think I might have to hang one up over here.
Well, quickly, speaking of jerseys, I let the fans know. I did order a Stafford jersey, the old one.
Stafford Rams?
No. Stafford Lions.
I might get a Stafford Rams jersey, which could be a segue into our next little segment on the podcast.
There you go. What a segment.
Quick question about this. Is it the old jersey, like the old Lions jersey when they used to have like the black cage or?
No, not the, like, okay, you know the jersey, you know their new jerseys that they came out maybe 3 years ago? The one before that.
Oh, okay. Retro.
A little retro.
Back when.
50% off. Why not?
Not
and
a
I have the kids.
Deal,
I have the only one I have is kids, so I can't be wearing that. It doesn't fit.
Yeah, that's embarrassing. Come on.
Yeah, grow
shouldn't
up.
Shouldn't have said that on the podcast.
I shouldn't even have said that. Grow up. Now you have holiday in Stafford. There you go.
All right. To conclude, before we move on, the Super Bowl was fixed, and the refs got Brady his seventh Super Bowl. On to the next topic.
Okay.
Naturally for us, as we love to overreact and to look ahead into stuff that we have no control over yet, Super Bowl 56. The odds were released yesterday as to who will come out on top for next year's Super Bowl. The Chiefs are the favorites. No surprise. I think the Packers are second and the Bucks are third. But I think we want to look a little bit deeper into that. And instead of just picking our Super Bowl for next season, I want to know from you some of the best value bets, the teams that, you know, maybe aren't the highest up on the list, but you thought maybe they're a dark horse here. Maybe they have a shot.
Okay, well, first of all, I got it right last year. This time last year, I picked the Buccaneers to win the Super Bowl with Jameis Winston. It still happened. He just wasn't on the team.
By that, you know what you have to do, right? You got to pick the Saints.
Oh, can you imagine? I can see it happening.
Dethrones Brady and the Bucs, his whole team. Oh, my gosh. What a storybook ending.
All right, best value. I have it up in front of me here. I mean, I don't know what we really consider value. Like, the Buccaneers are plus 1,100. Is that value?
I mean, considering the guys that I got are plus 1,200 and plus 1,400, I'd say the Bucs are a pretty good value, actually.
Okay. Well, okay. I guess I'll say my first pick for best value is probably the Browns. So they're plus 2,200, and I see the Ravens and the Steelers taking a step back. I think the Browns could win the division next year. Yeah. I think you might see, I think it could be a disaster season for Lamar. I'm calling it disastrous. Disastrous.
Thomas Coburn, right, February 9th, 12:09 p.m. Disaster season for Lamar. Let's see. Let's see what happens.
They're going to call 15-1 and he's going to win the MVP.
Clip it.
Yeah. 22. So I think they have a good chance to win the division.
So then after that, you just got to bet against every other team they play against.
Well, okay, they win the division. It. And then really, if you're picking a team in the AFC, it's here. Can they beat the Chiefs? I think the Browns have the team to beat the Chiefs. Ground and pound team. They'll have Odell back. So maybe they'll lose a couple more games, actually, because Odell's on the team. No. they have the run game and the defense to beat the Chiefs. They match up well with the Chiefs. I do believe that. I think the Chiefs probably still beat them. But in terms of best value, I like the Browns. 2,200.
So I actually like the Colts at plus 2,800. Mm. But... And the reason, this is a bit of a risk. You got to get on them now.
Before the quarterback.
They're going to get a quarterback. And I don't know who it's going to be. Maybe Carson Wentz. And we're going to get into that later. But it could very well be Jacoby Brissett. And in that case, I wouldn't take plus 4,000. So this is a bit of a risk. But we've seen the Colts. They have a loaded roster. All they're missing is a quarterback, which obviously is a pretty big hole to fill. But I like them on the O-line. I like Frank Reich. I think he's a great coach. The defense has a lot of young studs. Darius Leonard is the Devin White of the AFC. Going to be the best linebacker for the next 10 years. So I think the Colts have all the tools to succeed. Speak in their division, I think Tennessee might finally take a step back. At some time, they're going to figure out that giving Derrick Henry the ball 40 times a game, you just can't sustain that. And I don't know how much
Arthur Smith too.
How much of course, there that mastermind calling those halfback dives up the middle there. And you know what, Ryan Tannehill's been a great story, but I just think there's so many great quarterbacks in the AFC now that maybe he's going to start to sort of drag behind a little bit. So I think it's a winnable division for the Colts and great roster. If they get a good quarterback, I think they can rival the best of the best in the AFC.
So similar to what you just said in terms of get on them before they get a quarterback, the 49ers at plus 1,400, I don't think Garoppolo is going to be the quarterback, and I see long shot, maybe they do get Watson, but I think the 49ers might be a team here that trades up and gets a quarterback in the draft, and if their quarterback hits, and in Kyle Shanahan's offense, it's like, that's probably your best opportunity to be successful. I like their odds. Tough division, obviously, but the odds make it worth it.
So you actually took the 49ers right off my sheet. I had them written down at plus 1,400. I was really liking those odds. But I guess I'll call a bit of an audible here. I also had the Rams written down, but I feel like, you know, they're plus 1,200. The Bucs just won the Super Bowl. They're plus 1,100. I like the Rams to have a great season. It's not the best value, though. So I'm going to go a little bit more off the board. The Los Angeles Chargers, they're at plus 2,800. This is a team that has a very, very balanced roster. Defense, guys like Derwin James missed the whole season last year. He'll be back, and he is one of the best safeties in the NFL. Anytime you have Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram, you know, guys like Casey Hayward, Chris Harris, they have some real players on the defensive side of the ball. I like that defense to take a big step. And Justin Herbert, we've seen in the past quarterbacks in year two get even better. If he gets even better than what he did in his rookie season, watch out NFL. He has some really nice weapons around him. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, hopefully Austin Eckler's healthy next year. And I think they're picking around, I don't think they have a top 10 pick, but it's, they have a decent draft pick that they're going to be able to upgrade their roster. So I really like the Chargers to take a step, push for a playoff spot in year two. Brandon Staley, I think, will do well. The only worry I have is it's not a very winnable division with the Chiefs, but at plus 2,800, I like those odds.
Yeah, I don't hate it, especially. I mean, that is the only thing is obviously you're worried about the Raiders finishing first. And
I mean, the Broncos.
And the Broncos, too.
Jerry Judy, you know.
Yeah, you don't know. Yeah, they could have had Stafford, but it's a good trade. They should have kept Locke. He's much better. I think the final team I'll say, I'll give you one big long shot at plus 5,000. and they are the team that I am. Like, I think they're going to be really good this year. And can I know you're going to be like, yeah, go for it.
Is it Washington football team?
No.
Okay, I'll give me one more guess. We'll go with Chicago Bears.
No. The team is the Atlanta Falcons. I know you guessed that earlier when we were talking about this. I just said no to lie to you.
Wow.
Here's why. Arthur Smith looked – Corey Davis and A.J. Brown. Now you have Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones. I think that offense is going to just be unreal this season. At obviously plus 5,000, that's crazy value. So you can't hate that. And listen, I think the Saints take a step back. Panthers, not there. I mean, if they get Deshaun Watson, that changes everything, but not there yet. So I think the Falcons could challenge the Bucs for the division next year. I wouldn't be super surprised if they even won the division. And then at those odds, if you get into the playoffs, like that's all you can ask for. And the NFC is kind of shaky. So who knows?
It is shaky. I think there's going to be a lot of turnover with guys like Breeze retiring and just Rodgers, Brady, all these guys. They're not getting any younger. I know they continue to defy the odds, but still, there is going to come a day where there's some turnover. But, man, I got to say this to you. Young grasshopper, you have not learned what the Atlanta Falcons are all about as an organization.
Oh, just wait.
I have learned from experience with these guys. And I think I bailed on them this year in week 3 because for the past 3 seasons, ever since they made the Super Bowl, I have said to start the year, you know, they got something this year. They got a lot of weapons on offense. You know, the defense is maybe going to be a little bit better. This, that, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley. They just, all they do is let you down. This is what the Falcons pride themselves on. Their slogan is rise up or whatever. I'm not buying it.
Arthur Smith, buying this Falcons. Culture changer.
Okay. I'll say, you know what? I'll say it when I see it, I'll believe it.
But I'll right believe now, it when I see it. There you go.
I have sworn off investing in the Atlanta Falcons, but those are some of the best value bets we see in, you know, we have all the way until September to change our minds. So we're not locking anything in yet. Let's talk a little bit about the NFL honors that were, of course, Saturday night, the day before the Super Bowl. Not going to sit here and say, oh, Aaron Rodgers, you know, he deserved MVP, this, that. I will say this about Aaron Rodgers, though. At least put a suit on, man. I mean, what was that gray shirt that he was wearing? You know, everyone else was dressed up, and he just seems like he hasn't gotten over that NFC Championship loss. But
I wouldn't blame him.
Yeah.
Come on, tough loss.
We'll do one little bit with the NFL honors. Just, were there any snubs that you think, you know, this guy really deserved better?
Yeah, TJ Watt, I think that's kind of the obvious one. I think Donald, as great as he is, I think he kind of just won on his reputation this year. TJ Watt, I think it's fair to say, like, he played better than him. He had a better season than him. It can't be Aaron Donald every year. So I'd say, yeah, TJ Watt, he should have won.
So just on that Donald note, I think, first of all, Xavier Howard, 10 interceptions. Like, that happens once every decade. Yeah. So you can give him a shout to – when Donald won, I was kind of like, okay, are you serious? They're just giving it to him because he's Aaron Donald, and they're driving the narrative that he's the best defensive player to ever grace this planet. Then I did some more thinking. Yes, TJ Watt had the better stats, but he also was an edge rusher. Donald is a defensive tackle, defensive lineman. It's harder to generate numbers there. And also, I mean, TJ Watt's a great player, but he plays with Cameron Hayward and Stephon Tuitt and Bud Dupree, just a Steelers defense with a lot of players. And I'm not saying the Rams defense don't have great players. Of course, they do, the best defense in the NFL, I think. But nobody generates the attention that Aaron Donald does. I'm talking double teams, triple teams in every play. And the fact that he still generates the numbers that he does, I'm okay with him winning Defensive Player of the Year. Not that I don't see the argument that TJ Watt or Xavier Howard got snubbed, but I was okay with Aaron Donald. For me, it was Coach of the Year. And this may be my bias showing. I think Brian Flores deserved it, but I'll go even further. I think if Flores didn't win, I even think McDermott was more deserving than Kevin Stefanski. Let's face it, the Browns were, what, 7-9 a year ago and were considered a massive disappointment. Yeah, it's great that he coached that talent together and got them to the playoffs, but I just think what the Dolphins did was very, very impressive. I know they missed the playoffs. I don't think the award should be judged off of one game, And the Bills, the steps that Josh Allen took this year, that offense, that defense, the Bills were in the regular season second best team in the NFL this year. So I would have gone someone other than Stefanski.
Yeah, no, I do agree. I think Flores should have. I think Flores should have won it just because I don't think any team in the league took a bigger jump. The Browns did take a significant jump. I'm not going to deny that, but I do think, like you said, the roster was really good last year and they kind of underachieved. Dolphins went from legitimately a bad team to a playoff contender in basically one season. So that was pretty impressive.
Yeah. And other than that, I think everything was pretty much went as expected. Hall of Fame inductions came in, a couple guys on the first ballot. I know your guy Megatron.
There you go.
Got in there. Crazy that he's only, I think he's 36 years old, which is, he's already in the Hall of Fame. Kind of sad that he could have still been even playing some of the wide receivers like
yeah, play that late. Brady was drafted, or he was drafted after Brady retired and got in the Hall of Fame before Brady was done his career, which is kind of like
Brady's still winning Super Bowls.
He's
just the greatest Brady. Wow.
Yeah, listen, I wanted to talk about the Hall of Fame because I need to share my view on the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame, I personally think, and this goes for every sport, but I think the Hall of Fame should be, like, if you're not a first ballot Hall of Famer, you're not a Hall of Famer. I don't think you should have to let players into the Hall of Fame every year.
You should be on the committee in the MLB voting nobody into the Hall of Fame. I get it. There are certain players that are just above and beyond and that deserve to be recognized. But I think it's just about the history of the game. And that there's guys like, for example, Reggie Wayne, wide receiver from the Colts. Was there ever a time in his career where he was the Calvin Johnson, where he was just must-see TV, getting triple teamed? Just no. But for a very long time, he was a top five, you know, top-end receiver, elite player. And I believe that that deserves to be rewarded. Now, there's guys like Eli Manning, where the situation gets very, very tricky because
he's going to get Super Bowls. He's going to get in.
He will get in.
Yeah.
And that's when people make the argument there's the Hall of Fame and there's the Hall of just very good. And Eli Manning was a good quarterback, but he had some years where he wasn't that great. And he had some years where he beat Tom Brady and the Patriots and what would have been considered the greatest team of all time. So, yes, I understand there's some gray areas and you don't want to let players in that aren't worthy. I don't know. I still think there's some good players. Like every year, I feel like the guys that get in are deserving. There's a lot of good players in the NFL.
For sure. I think the kind of whole format should be changed, which you can't now because then you'd have to like go back and see who's being inducted. But you made the joke about you should be on the baseball committee. Aside from the whole steroid thing where Barry Bonds and like Pete Rose, like I think they should be in the Hall of Fame. But what's the most prestigious Hall of Fame in all of sports? It's baseballs. Baseball, that by far is, it's a bigger honor to make it to the Baseball Hall of Fame than it is any sport. And that's what I think. Obviously, making it to the Hall of Fame in any sport is very special. But I think it's just baseball, in a way, I think they do kind of have it right, where it's really tough to get in.
I can't speak to anything on baseball. I'm just, like you said, you're a filthy college football casual. I know very, very little about the MLB and just anything. If we started a From the Nosebleeds baseball podcast, count me out. I'm not ready for that. Quickly, before we go talk about the Hall of Fame, let's talk about another future Hall of Fame quarterback, Carson Wentz.
Absolutely. First ballot.
He's rumored to be on the move. You know, he could get traded in the next 5 minutes while we are recording this. Who knows? It's set to happen any day now. But I think what's more interesting is that the Eagles are actually asking for a Matthew Stafford-type trade package, which I may add to that. I am on the side of believing that the Lions, only got two first-round picks for Stafford because they took over Goff's contract. So absolutely, I can't see a scenario in which Carson Wentz warrants two first-round draft picks. I don't know where this is coming from.
A Matthew Stafford trade package for Wentz is more ridiculous than the rumor about Russell Wilson getting traded. Like, I don't know what the... I mean, Listen, if they get that, hats off. I don't have a hat on, but hats off. That's the steal of the century. If there's a team, I don't think he warrants one first round pick. If I'm being honest, he has looked horrible. Yes, he's a quarterback. Maybe. I mean, okay, fine. If it's a first round pick, that's all you get.
It's just because of the potential upside. Like if you give a first round pick for Wentz, it's like you're betting on him to get back to where he was. Because you can say it was only one bad season. So you know what? Maybe a change of scenery will really help him. He was a second overall pick. He's still young. But the contract hurts, because if he doesn't, then that contract is just terrible. But I think in a good situation, he can be a productive player. But the fact that the Bears are listening on two first round picks, like Watson is set to go for 3 to 4. And I think just because of all the people interested, it would end up being 4. But I'd eat the 4 first round picks for Watson, even though that's a crazy amount, rather than giving 2 for Wentz. Because I don't know. I feel like this is my feeling on it. If Wentz goes to the Colts, I feel he succeeds. Absolutely. If he goes to the Bears, just because there's just been so much bad with Chicago Bears and quarterbacks as of late, that I'm just going to be like, okay, it's what's going to change here?
As a Lions fan, I hope he goes to the Bears. I think that, and give up 2 first round picks, maybe 2 first rounders, Khalil Mack. Who else? I don't know. Maybe
throwing Tariq Cohen in there. Just
because. Yeah, exactly. Why not? Leave Wentz with no weapons and on the Bears. It'll be fantastic. Yeah, no. But like you said, if he goes to the Colts, I can literally see them winning the Super Bowl, being in that AFC championship, like right in the conversation. I truly believe that Wentz with Frank Reich and that offensive line are good enough to potentially win a Super Bowl. But I don't know. And if the Bears trade two first round picks for Wentz, that means Watson's now worth like 6 first rounders.
Yeah.
So the Texans are like, they're just crossing their fingers. They're like, yeah, trade Wentz for 2 firsts. Now we can ask for 6.
Those Texans are really standing their ground on Watson. They do not want to deal him.
Which to a certain point you have to respect.
Yeah.
I got to respect. Please sit on the bench. I'll pay you, but you're not leaving. There's a certain just kind of fair enough here that, okay, you're not trading me.
I mean, he didn't even sign that contract. It hasn't even been a year. It's hasn't even been 6 months since he signed that contract. So it's just crazy how much can change in so little time. But Wentz, I feel like by next week, by season 3, episode 2, Carson Wentz is in different colors. I guess we'll do some predictions here. I want him to go to the Colts, even though not like as a neutral football fan, I think Colts is the most interesting. It's the best, but I think he ends up with the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, I think it's the most Bears move ever here to trade for him. So I think he ends up with the Bears. But please go to the Colts, make that deal. Unless Andrew Luck's coming back, who knows?
Oh, that would be
the return
of Andrew Luck. The best part about the Andrew Luck conversation is that every single year there's thousands and thousands of people debating, oh, will Andrew Luck come back? How can Andrew Luck help this Colts team? You know, is there a chance? And Andrew Luck doesn't even know that this is going on. No. He's just sitting there on his flip phone, you know, looking after his family, watching. Do you think Andrew Luck knows who won the Super Bowl?
Yeah, he does. You know why? I think because it's the plan. He's gonna rest till he's 44. He's gonna come back, and he's gonna be the oldest. He's gonna be the oldest. Yeah, he's gonna start the goal
conversation. That's a good idea.
Yeah, he's gonna three-peat 44, 45, 46, 3 in a row.
Okay, so I agree with you. I think Andrew Luck knows who won the Super Bowl, but I feel like he found out who was playing in the Super Bowl at 6:31 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday.
Awesome. Tom
like
is
he
playing.
Turned it on, yeah, and he's like, oh, Tom.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, that Patrick guy, he's getting pretty good. Like, Andrew Luck, we got to get him on the show.
I was about to say, you should come on the podcast.
You think he has Zoom? He doesn't know what Zoom
Skype.
Is.
He has Skype. He has Skype.
He for sure has Skype.
He's a big Skype guy.
Next episode, we're transferring over to Skype.
Yep. Get Andrew Luck on the show.
I think that's going to do it all for today's show. Pretty successful season three premiere, if you ask me. Not that I'm biased or anything, but super excited to keep going with this thing. Make sure to follow us on or listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, or like and subscribe on YouTube. We really, really appreciate it. And follow us on Instagram as well at fromthenosebleeds.pod. That's all I have to say for today. I know you always have something to add, so I'll let you close this off here.
Well, I think you said it because you always forget to say like and subscribe.
That's smart.
So I'll say turn on post notifications. There's always something extra.
I think that's asking too much.
How about this week? This week you like and subscribe, and then next week you turn the notifications on.
All right. Take it easy, guys. We will see you for episode 2 next week.
Have a good week, guys.